You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Ah, spring is in the air. The daffodils are just dandy. The petunias are pleasing. You dash out to check out what's blooming in the garden you've planted, only to discover, yikes, the neighborhood cats have designated your flower bed for their porta potty, and your dig happy dog has volunteered to rototill your vegetable patch. You're feeling a little helpless and all thumbs, and I'm not talking green ones either. What can you do? Well, you're in luck. On today's O Behave show, we are doggone lucky to have a very special guest, Judy McCumber, a pet expert and garden genius. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Well, thank you, Arden. I'm glad to be here.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Judy a little bit more about gardening and pets right after this commercial break.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Stop what you're doing and start horsing around. Every week on Pet Life Radio, horse expert and award-winning rider Audrey Pavia will be trotting out great tips on feeding, breeding, and more on everything equestrian. So set a spell and say hey to Audrey and get ready for a darn tootin' galloping good time. Every week on Horsin' Around, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Flight 291 is now boarding. All passengers, please proceed to gate 4.
And who's this traveling with us today?
This is Bailey. She's never flown Midwest Airlines before.
Hi, Bailey. She'll be fine. We take special care of our traveling pets. In fact, our Premier Pet Program was created by an employee and dog lover who believes that pets should be handled as precious cargo. And they are. Oh, and they earn travel rewards, too.
Oh, good.
Thanks for flying Midwest Airlines, Bailey. Enjoy your flight. Visit MidwestAirlines.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.FidoFriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back to the O Behave Show. I'm your host, Arden Moore. As mentioned, many of us love flowers, vegetable gardens, and dogs and cats. But we can feel frustrated because sometimes pet power can overpower flower power. Well, fret no more. On today's show, Master Gardener and pet expert, Judy McCumber, will unleash some great gardening secrets and solutions. So, let's dig in. Judy, I really do appreciate you being on the show.
Oh, this is fun.
And we found out that we're kind of neighbors. We met at the Global Pet Expo a couple months back in warm, sunny San Diego in January or whenever, when everybody else was freezing. And our leashes did cross, right?
Yes, they did. It was great to meet you.
Well, likewise to you. People may want to know who the heck Judy McCumber is, and I want us to give a little bit of a bio. She knows how to garden. She teaches that. She also loves pets, and she is the editor and publisher of Pet Lovers Publications. These are these handy pet resource guides that she customizes geographically. So that means like hounds are happy in Houston and overjoyed in places like Orange County, California, and more. Judy, is there anything else I'm missing about you before we get going?
Well, I got into doing these publications for the same reason I got into gardening, because I needed answers.
There you
and
go.
It just sort of progressed from there.
Well, tell us a little bit about your gardening background. I understand you do teach some classes in the San Diego County area, but tell us a little bit about your gardening background and your pet background.
Well, I've always loved to garden. I got that from my grandma, I guess. But I was fortunate enough here in San Diego to get into the Master Gardener program, which allows us to be trained by UC Davis Ag Department. And although we don't, in that 6-month period of training, learn all the answers, we get a lot of ideas on where to look for them. And so that was just a wonderful start of information for me about gardening here in San Diego. I'd lived in other places, and when I moved out here, it was paradise. And I thought, like everyone else, I ran around and went to Home Depot and all the little nurseries everywhere and brought home everything I saw because it could all grow here. And then I, of course, have sort of spent the last 15 years digging a lot of those up, the ones that my dog didn't, and you know, making wiser choices.
Well, give me a couple of ones that didn't fare so well in our fair climate of San Diego.
Well, it's been harder for me for things like, of course, there's certain plants that won't thrive here at all, but gardenias. One of the things that is happening now in the San Diego area, too, is that we have a water problem, and so my classes are now a lot more directed toward what to do with drought-tolerant plants and how to find the good ones that will hold up to not only doggy paws and kitty scat, but also that will enable us to have a lovely little backyard.
That's good. Nobody wants a big water bill. People want to be ultimately green in a good way, and green means that you're growing the right things in the right soils without putting much of a drain, if you will, on Mother Nature. So what's this with pets now? You've had dogs and maybe cats most of your life?
Oh, yes. I've had pets all my life, and I have dogs out here now. In fact, I've been fortunate enough to have the challenging dogs adopt me, like Jack Russell Terriers and Dachshunds, which are known diggers.
You know, and, it's almost kind of like it's fate, don't you think? You know,
yes,
they,
it
they,
is.
They know you know
it's
how to
kind
garden.
Of a karmic thing.
Yeah, I think it is. It's a good karma thing. And if I was your dogs, I'd be like, yeah, baby, let's see what we can pull over on Judy today. Putting that little.
Well, and that's what I found. I worked on the board of a local humane society here for a number of years, and I saw that a lot of people, brought home a pet adopted from the shelter and expected it to sit down and notice all the bad plants that they shouldn't be messing with and just be the perfect little dog in the backyard. And then, you know, within about 3 or 4 weeks when it started looking like a moonscape, they were calling us and saying, what am I going to do with this dog?
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, really, a couple of the breeds you just mentioned, the Jack Russells and the Dachshunds, you know, they were born to dig. Just like, you know, Bruce Springsteen was born to sing and born in the USA. So we do a lot, it seems like, to be very careful when people are adopting dogs and cats from shelters. You know, they go through this whole thing. Do you have a backyard? Is it fenced in? You know, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think a lot of people get quizzed about their gardens or what they're growing in their backyard. And maybe people like you can help some of our listeners today. Talk about some of the doggy no-nos as far as plants and what type of, if you were going to do a survey in your backyard, can you offer some tips to our listeners about what makes it safe for the dog?
Well, one of the first things I always say in my classes is we're going to have to be our own little pet detective for a while. And I actually have them draw a layout of their backyard. I give them a little form, and we, you know, that way, that's always good in planning and landscaping anyway, so that you can get an idea of what you want to put in that backyard and what you might want to take out. But if you get a general idea where the trees are, and with the fencing, of course, not only are some dogs born to dig, but most dogs are, you know, dedicated to patrolling your backyard. So you need to sort of look at what's along the edges of the perimeter in the fencing areas.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, that's very good.
What happens when a car drives up and your dog runs? Where does he run to? What, you know, where would he run to one specific area to look out through that fence and see, you know, who's there? Because if you've got a rose bush or a cactus there, you better get that out of there.
Ouch.
And yes. And you know, there's, I've been doing a little more research on what they call the toxic plants, and I'm going to be covering that more in my classes on the level of toxicity, because a lot of plants, such as aloe, for example, can be classified as toxic, but they have such a low severity of poisoning that, you know, some of these plants that, you know, you see on a list, you say, oh gosh, I've got to take this out and this out and this out. Oh my gosh, what am I going to be able to put in there? But
yeah,
it's a matter of planning. And of course, there's basic things that you need to put in the backyard. You need to look for a place that will be shady for your pet. Where are you going to put the food and water bowls? Where would be a good place for a dog to curl up and take a nap? Is there a sunning area? Because dogs like to take sun baths just like we do.
Oh, yeah. My dog, I have a modest backyard myself, and I have a dog named Chipper who's a 60-pound golden retriever husky and a 12-pound mystery mutt named Cleo. And, you know, I was listening to you talk about where they go. And in my backyard, it abuts. I have a big 6-foot chain-link fence. It's and the hillside is owned by the Homeowners Association. And it's this nice slope down after my level backyard. Then it slopes down with all the vegetation. Well, the other day, sure as you can say, woof, Chipper was flying back and forth along the fence line because the gardener crew was out there, you know, doing a little pruning on the hillside. And I thought to myself, I'm so glad I do ground cover because I'm a lazy gardener. I don't want a lawnmower. And you know what? She carved quite a nice little sprint path back and forth along that fence line.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And you can sort of gear what you're going to put in the yard, as such as ground cover and things, to what areas you want them to be in. What areas that you know, I always recommend raised beds for, you know, gardening and plants anyway, because the plants you want to keep.
yeah.
Because not only is it going to be less attractive to your dog getting in there, but the other thing is it's going to be much easier on your back. And as we all get older, we need to look at that.
Well, you know, I just saw on TV we're going to be living to be 150, so we should be probably planting some cypress trees, shouldn't we?
Exactly.
The raised bed idea is a very clever idea if you want to outfox a dog, I guess, because they like to get their shoulders in and dig deep, but being in a raised bed, it sort of, they lose a little of their leverage, right?
Right, right. And, well, and, you know, when you're trying to train something and, you know, you're trying to, you know, bring a new plant into the area and train it, one of the first things, too, I recommend, which is very important, is when you bring that new pet home and they're trying to bond with you, and I'm sure you know this anyway, but and they are watching everything you do because that's, you know, you're their pet parent. And
you walk on two legs and water.
Yes, yes. And I recommend that at first you don't let them watch you dig in the garden. In fact, some dogs, for example, like my Jack Russell, who is very inquisitive, he goes right along behind me. If I pull a weed, he tries to eat it. And
oh
I think,
gosh.
Yeah, why didn't he do that to begin with? You know, it would have made it so much easier. But nonetheless, and if I dig in something, he's looking at it to see if I, you know, sometimes he starts digging himself to see if just by some chance I buried a steak under there or something, you know. Because
or a bone that's marinated for a couple
of
weeks.
Right, right. Yeah, because that's what he would do.
Now, what is your Jack's name?
Jack, yeah, I know, very unimaginative, but he adopted us. And
well, that's
so,
okay. I have a calico named Callie, so we're on the same creativity level, and it's pretty low. What about your dachshund? What's your dachshund's
My
name?
Dachshund is Barkley, and Barkley acts as a consultant with me on a lot of things. He's sort of the excavating consultant and in gopher management.
Oh, okay, you know. Yeah. I wonder, did he get incorporated? I heard he did. He had to fill out his, you know, his...
yeah.
Did he do his taxes this year?
Right. Well, and he's always asking for a raise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, usually dachshunds raise up to get a treat, you know?
Exactly.
Well, this is really cool. But I think you were starting to say that they really do watch us, and doggy see, gardener do, doggy do. I mean, that's what you're trying to tell
exactly.
me.
Exactly. And so it's a good idea. That's a good idea for a time when one of the members of your family or someone, or even keeping your dog occupied elsewhere during that time. Because, you know, especially when they're first bonding with you, that is prime time for them to just pay attention to everything you do and go right after it after you do. So if you don't want those marigolds that you just planted in there replanted for you a little differently, you might put the doggy inside or have someone take them for a walk that day.
Well, you know, as an aside, I lived in Florida for a while, and I worked at the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel, and one of my friends is John Grogan and his wife, who wrote the book Marley and Me.
Oh, and yes.
I knew Marley, the crazy dog that, you know, he's now sold 3 million copies. One time we were at a function, and it was a Sunday get-together, brunch or whatever, and John loved, like you, gardening. And we were all out in the backyard, and he had one of those garages that was separated from the house, and he had some garden beds along the opposite side of the garage, and he wanted to show all of us his new garden, what he was doing. And honest to gosh, Judy, we thought we heard a train, locomotive, steamroller, you name it, and around the corner as we were going to see the garden comes a very happy dirt up to his chest, Marley, who had just rototillered his entire garden. And poor John looked and said, "That was my garden." And so, I mean, we're very fortunate that we have Judy McCumber on our show today. We're going to talk to her a little bit more about some secrets that we can sneak in to keep our garden growing and our dogs happy right after this commercial break.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Attention, passengers. Please fasten your seatbelts, put your seatbacks and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas,
Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslovsky, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Ready to take a walk? Not just you, but your whole family. It's the 2008 Whisker Walk, Sunday, June 8th from 9 to 4 at the Lancaster Fairground in Lancaster, Massachusetts. Pet owners and animal lovers walk to lend a paw to benefit the animal shelters and pet charities they love. Come see exhibits, demonstrations, educational programs, special attractions, product giveaways, entertainment, auctions, raffles, food, fun, and things for adults and kids to see, do, and buy, both human and pet-related. Whisker Walk 2008, a fun day for everyone. For more information, log on to whiskerwalk.org.
Greetings, human. What planet am I on?
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent.
Pet Planet magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back to the Oh Behave Show. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Today's guest is Judy McCumber. She is a master gardener in the San Diego County area. She also is a pet expert and editor and publisher of these great guides called the Pet Lovers Publications for folks that are in the San Diego area, Houston, Orange County, California, LA, and more. These little guides tell you everywhere that welcome dogs. I mean, we're talking dog parks, we're talking hotels, restaurants, you name it. I think the website is petloverspublications.com. Is that right, Judy?
That's right.
All right. I didn't know any other website that we can let the listeners write down as well at this point.
No, that would do it. If they go to petloverspublications.com, they can find information on, we're actually putting up the dog parks on our site too as well, and taking pictures of some of them so that people traveling from out of town can see those a little bit better too. It's good to know where you're going.
Yeah, sometimes I get lost. That's why I have to have a leash with my dog. She's my GPS. But we were talking about gardens. Gardens are great, whether it's vegetables or flowers. I mean, I actually have written a couple of herb books myself. But you have to be cautious when it comes to selecting and locating the plants of choice. If it's all right with you, Judy, at this time, I also wanted to give our listeners a very important toll-free number that they need to write down. That is the Animal Control Poison Center. The ASPCA runs it. It is 888-426-4435. This is a toll-free number that you can call if you suspect your dog chewed and ate something he shouldn't have, or your cat. I do want you all to know that if you do get consulted by one of their veterinary experts at the Poison Control Center, They will be charging you on your credit card, but it's a life or death situation sometimes. But also on the site, they do list the pet-friendly and stay-away-from-pet kind of plants. I guess maybe you can you give us some examples of some doggy no-no plants? Mulch, I guess you were talking, I think I've read something about cocoa shell mulch.
Yes,
sounds
cocoa
delicious
shell mulch.
To me.
That can be toxic. And one thing that's quite popular here in the area is getting some of the sago palms. And
oh,
sago,
yeah.
They have a very high toxicity, which most dogs would not probably attack the palm in itself, but the seeds can be attractive to the dogs, and they're actually the most toxic part of the plant.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. I have a big sago palm in my front yard that everybody admires, but fortunately, I don't have a dog that likes to sniff and, act like a little...
Go around it, yeah. And so it's a good idea to remove the seeds and the fruit of this plant whenever it's doing that, because dogs or even birds can get into this.
Well, you know what? Thank you for sharing that. That's a good one. I didn't know that one. What are some other ones that maybe people might be surprised about that could really harm a dog or a cat?
Well, there's calanchos, which is a really nice succulent flowering plant. Now, they don't have significant toxicity, but they are, a lot of these plants, fortunately, don't taste good. So animals wouldn't be chewing on them anyway, generally. You'd have to get a dog that would be really, very dedicated to start chewing on a palm or maybe a calancho, because they taste pretty bad.
Well, but, how do you spell that particular type of succulent? How do you spell that
okay,
one?
Okay, it's K-A-L-A-N-C-H-O.
Okay, calancho.
Yeah, and it's actually on the ASPCA's top 10 most common toxic plant.
Okay.
This poison can cause damage to the heart and should be considered a potential danger to your pet, however, though. So it's, like I said, the actual cases of toxicity are relatively rare, as these plants taste pretty bad and they'd have to eat a lot of them. And that's some of the things with a lot of these plants. Most of them you'd have to, like a poinsettia, you'd have to really eat a lot of that. But it's something to watch for. And then the other thing, in a different angle, are avocado seeds. Avocados just in themselves are not bad for the dog, although they will often make them fat. I've seen
that's
some
why
really
they call
fat
them chow hounds.
Yeah, right. But should the seed get stuck in a dog's throat, then then you're in serious trouble here.
Yeah, that's a choking issue. We don't want that.
Yeah.
How are some things that you can do that you do teach a gardening class in the San Diego area, and I don't know if you have any other tips on gardening on a website or anything, but how are you, you've got to kind of strike a compromise with the dog. They're going to be in the backyard, sometimes with you, sometimes not. We should never leave our dogs out in the backyard for hours and hours. It should be like a little, doggy Disneyland or something. Is there some ways that you can strike a compromise with your canine and save your cucumbers?
Right. Well, there's a couple of angles you can go at. If you brought home a pretty hyper puppy and you really want to, and you haven't had a chance to really, take everything out, for example, baby tears and stuff like that, little delicate plants, camellias, plants, bushes that have roots close to the ground level a lot of times don't fare well because they get knocked around a lot, and by dogs even just brushing against them. And so some of those plants need to be moved to either an area that you can fence in a raised bed situation. Sometimes you can make yourself a little rock garden and put the plant at the top of that, at the top of your rock garden. And in such a way to sort of, just make it difficult for them. Make it a little difficult for them.
Well, could you put some of these, too, in, hanging potted plants out of paws?
Exactly, exactly. Okay. Yeah, and if you have a big old doofus dog, bless their little hearts, You know, some of these plants need to go in pots, big, heavy pots, and then you can have your garden. You know, I recommend that for small areas anyway. Then you have a garden that you can, you know, you can control it a little bit better, and no matter how much they knock it around, it'll be fine.
Oh, but that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking the hanging potted plants, you just got to make sure it's not the canine version of a pinata. You know, you
got to
really make sure it's up high.
Right. Yeah, just don't put anything in there that's real attractive to them.
Yeah, yeah. Here, yeah. Doggy, doggy, doggy.
Yeah, don't hang any bones off of it.
Oh, okay. But speaking of bones, you know, I actually in one of my books, I did talk about giving your dog their own little landscape, if you will, in the backyard. And
that's what I was going to say. If you have a hyper doggy, you might want to even start with what I call doggy land, which I fenced in a little area, which is now open to the dogs, but you can fence in a little area that has sand in it, that has, if you've got a water-loving pet, maybe one of those little plastic, you know, the hard plastic wading pools that are not very deep. It's great for my golden retriever. She just loves that. And she'll go in the summertime and just sit right in the middle of it. And then you can have a shaded area. You can also make yourself a shaded area for a dog if you don't have a tree nearby by getting an old picnic table and sawing off the legs about, you know, halfway down. And when you put that down, the dog can climb up on the picnic table, do his sun bath, climb under it to have his shaded area.
Wow. And voila. That's both.
Yeah.
It's a two-pointer.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, with that wading pool, you could also cut up a hot dog and have the dogs have a party and do dunking for hot dogs, you know?
Exactly. And I use that as a training technique, although I'm not a trainer. When I catch my dog digging in an area that I don't like, you know, because reinforcement, you know, you just have to keep at it, because if it's something new, it might be attractive.
Yeah.
So when I catch him doing that, I take him over to the sandy area, I plant something in there, I show it to him that I'm digging it right there, and I'm planting that doggy treat right there, and I said, then go, get, you know, and although my dachshund now looks at me with like a doleful eye, like, don't you think I have a nose, you know, but nonetheless, they get the general idea that this is where they dig and not, you know.
Well,
it's
doggy real estate. You're trying to up the ante and let them know that, hey,
right.
Hey, Jack Barkley, and what's your golden's name?
Julie.
Julie?
Mm-hmm. Julie's about 14, so she doesn't, she doesn't dig much anymore.
That's okay. That's okay. She has her memory. She has her
memory.
She dreams of digging now. That's cool. I love Goldens as well. But I think what you're doing is you're helping out our listeners know that there is a way that you can let your garden grow and not have the power of the paw come over and decimate it. Is there any other tips before we wrap things up that maybe we might have missed? We talked about how to make it good for the dog and good for you. We talked a little bit about some of the dangerous plants, and to go to the poison control, ASPCA.org, you will get to the Animal Poison Control Center. And the phone number, again, is the 888-426-4435. It's very important to be a little safety in this fun we're having with Judy today.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the other thing I would bring up is that one thing you can also do in an area is if you've got a chewer dog, you know, that likes to chew on plants, sometimes that's a sign of pica, that they're looking for something nutritionally. And you can plant your own little doggy and pussycat garden for them to graze on and have things in it like alfalfa and barley and wheatgrass and even dandelion, which is excellent for the lymph system, and it's a blood cleanser.
And I didn't know that. Yeah, and a little catnip for the cats, right?
Yeah, a little catnip, although you've got to keep that catnip in a pot and use sparingly. You don't want them to get strung out.
Yeah, you know, you've got the kitty all strung out going, hey, dude, come to my garden. It's awesome.
I'm just going to forget about eating.
Yeah, just talk to the paw. I'm seeing, wow, look at this colors I'm seeing. But I think you're right. I mean, you know, people don't realize that that dogs and some cats dig the greens, and they are good for their system, just like us eating our vegetables. I like that idea of being able to give them their own little garden, and you get to, you know, I mean, a lot of these types of plants grow in a lot of areas, and they're not as high maintenance as people would anticipate, correct?
Right, right. Yeah, you can put, you know, the herbs in a little area and just let them harvest them and the wheat grass, and then you can just replant them as you need to. But most of them, a lot of times, are self-replanting every year, so you won't have a problem with that, especially dandelions.
Yeah. Hey, I was digging around, speaking of the pun, sorry, your information, and one tip that we haven't talked about, and I love talking about the three P's, pee, poop, and puke. That's, I'm an expert on that, but you even baffled me. You said one way to eliminate dogs that keep digging the holes in an area is to actually refill the holes with their own doggy doo-doo, right?
Yes, that sometimes works. That sometimes really works because they, you know, they do like to keep that separate. You know, they
yeah,
don't.
Yeah, I mean, I can just see the dog going, "Holy crap, that's my crap!" I'm
yeah.
out of here.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, I just want you to know I have not had any caffeine today. I don't know what it is. You're just bringing out the jollies in me. But I think we are very fortunate to have today as our guest, Judy McCumber. She is a master gardener, pet expert from San Diego County. I live in that county, too. We're going to get to know each other a little bit. I think we're going to help each other out, spread the word, spread the pet power, the flower power. You want to learn more about her, I ask you to please go to the www.petloverspublications.com. Yes, she does more than just garden. She puts together these amazing pet resource guides in certain geographical areas all over the country. And the lady is a delight. Is there some other thing you want to sign off to our listeners before we call it a day?
Well, I can't think of it right now, but I will say that I will be teaching, if any of you are in the San Diego area, there will be a class held at the San Diego Humane Society, and we will be discussing more of planting with your pooch and not having them plant for you at that time.
Well, you have been a delight. I really appreciate you being a guest on our show. You have been listening to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I appreciate all of you tuning in. If you would like to get a transcript on this show or learn about this show or any other show on Pet Life Radio, it's really easy. Just go to the website, www.petliferadio.com. and click on the O Behave Show. If you have any questions or ideas or comments about the show, just give me a shout and email me at arden@petliferadio.com. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. O Behave!
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.